Welcome to another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam,
exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dekdag.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us in this new podcast as we'll be sharing with you so much information concerning what's happening right now and as we will continue our study for Women in Islam Part 2. First of all, I'd like to welcome Christy. Hello, Christy, our wonderful co-host and producer from Mississippi. Christy Johnson, hello and how are you?
Hey, Usama, I'm great. Been doing a lot of work. Went to some rallies that were political. So I hope it's okay for me to say something political. We wanted to support the people who are looking at termination if they don't get vaccinated. So we had another rally and I went. And you know what was amazing? So many of the people that were saying they did not believe they should get the vaccination, they literally were saying they felt God told them they shouldn't do that. And I'm not saying if people got the vaccination, you know, they're bad people. I don't want to condemn anybody that's done that. Some people in my family and friends have been vaccinated. But it was amazing that some of the men that we talked to were saying, you know, I really believe in the Lord, and I think we need to stand up against the idea of being ordered, mandated to take the vaccine. And today, one of the courts has said they're going to stop the Biden mandate. So we can keep on praying.
Last week, after the show on Sunday, I spoke in a church in Texas, and this wonderful sister, she came, and she got some material from my table, some books and stuff, so she wrote the check, so she put the number. She could not actually fill the check, and she said, she asked me, can you fill the check, can you fill in, because I cannot write, and her body's shaking, literally, she's going like that, her hand is shaking like that, so bad. I thought maybe that's normal. I said, well, you don't have to fill it, just I'll let somebody else fill it, and maybe just be quite the straight way of Chris mentioning it. But then I asked her, would you mind if I ask you why, I mean, your body is shaking? Is it? She said, from the vaccine shot. I could not believe her. And listen what she said. She said, I do not want to take the shot, but my husband wants me to take the shot. My husband believes in the shot, and I did not want to upset him. So I took the first shot, and I was shaking a little bit less. And when I took the second shot, I'm shaking even more. And I don't want to take the third shot. And I said to her, and her husband said next to me, I said, ma'am, we pray that the Lord will heal you and touch your body and take the shaking away from you. But, Christine, I've never seen anybody shaking that bad from taking the shot. Nobody talked about it in the media. Fox News did not talk about it. I mean, literally, it broke my heart to see this lady shaking that bad, and she cannot. She physically cannot write the straight way on the check. She wrote the number, and she could not spell it.
Usama, there's a lot of stories of people that this has happened to. They're developing syndromes and illnesses that are like that. A gentleman at one of who's on the website with us, Gulf Coast Against Mandate, he almost died after taking a shot. He took the first one. He had a stroke. He was in the hospital. He stopped breathing. I mean, they had to rush him to the hospital to save his life. So this is not as uncommon as the media, but that's why I'm telling you, watch things like Frank Speech, Lindell TV, OAN, Real America's Voice. You're going to see interviews with people that have had these kinds of problems. It is being covered up.
It's sad. Yes, ma'am. It's very sad. And I don't think we have an answer for this problem. I don't know if these people will ever be healed. I know for sure a grandpa and a grandma, a friend of mine, the father had a blockage in his left leg. and the grandma have a blockage in her right arm. And they both took the same shot on the same time, and they both had this complication. I don't know what to tell you. It's very sad, but we have to pray for those who died because of the vaccine, for those who died because of the virus, for those who are struggling with all these symptoms because of the shot, and I don't know.
Yeah, we've got people in our comments who are talking about losing a family member. Chloe said she lost a family member, and I know people who've had very, very serious reactions, but that is being hidden. But just keep praying, because there are many doctors. There was an international medical conference today, and I watched it live streaming, and there are a dozen doctors that are coming out who are experts in their field, who are treating patients, who are exposing this. Pray for these doctors, because you know they're being threatened for exposing this information. And also, they're saying, for example, one of the things that can treat and stop COVID is aspirin, something very simple. There's talking about medicine that can be taken in order to fight this viral infection.
They're taking this red pill, and I hope and I pray that soon here in America, there are a lot of people to treat COVID with this red pill, which is inexpensive and it's available.
Ivermectin.
Yeah, whatever it was.
Yep.
All right. Lucy, I don't want to talk too much about this.
I don't either. But I want to say one more thing I need to tell our audience who are on Blog Talk Radio. We're also broadcasting simultaneously on YouTube Live. So please let me know if you're there in the Blog Talk Radio call list, or if you're in the chat room and you are having any difficulty hearing us. Let me know and we'll try and take care of it. But right now we're real excited to be on YouTube Live at the same time.
Amen. Good, good, good. Well, I have our great helper here, Brother Adam. He has a couple of videos I want to play for tonight. First one, I want you to look how the world are looking at Mr. O'Biden. Who is O'Biden to the world? I mean, is he really running this country? Is he really doing a great job? Is he really like what we expect from the president of the United States of America? And this is from the TV of Egypt, guys. This is not from Biden in America. This is how the Egyptian looked at Mr. O'Biden and who is really running this country in their opinion. So let's play this brief video. It's a short one, and I hope you will enjoy watching.
اللي بيحكم امريكا فريق اوباما. فكان فريق اوباما المشكله مش بس هو الفريق اللي بيحكم، لا، نفس الفكر بتاع اوباما بيحكم امريكا بالذات السياسي.
The Egyptian got it, but sadly most liberals in America did not get it. He is actually snoring. You hear it in the whisper. I don't know how he does this, but it's funny anyway. And he said, I'm going to translate to you what the Egyptian media are telling us. Mr. O'Biden is not judging America. He's not governing America. It is the Obama's team. And when he asked, what do you mean Obama's team? He said, if you watch who is running this country right now, they're all the same people who used to work for Obama. Obama's third term is what is happening in America. This is the reality of what's happening. And to understand that, we're going to have these next few minutes to discuss the matter of what America is doing to Egypt right now. Maybe you have not seen that in the media you're watching. I have not seen it on Fox News, but I got it from Egypt. Literally, I got this video from Egypt. I did not get it from anywhere in America. So you're going to see the Arabic subtitle of it in the bottom there. If you know Arabic, you can read. But, and by the way, accurate translation. For those who do not know English, you want to see it in Arabic and read it in the bottom there. We're repeating the same agenda of Biden years ago. Remember, of Obama, I mean. Remember when Obama was in the White House? And the Egyptian did not want to go with him. He didn't want to allow him to control the country. So he decided, Mr. Obama, to stop the aid of Egypt. You remember that, Christy?
Oh, yes.
When Obama refused to send the millions of dollars which he sent to Egypt because he wanted to control Egypt?
Yes.
Well,
he ordered Mubarak to step down. Do you remember that?
Well, I guess about after that.
Yeah.
After that.
He was trying to control Egypt completely.
Well, thank God that the Saudi Arabia helped Egypt. Thank God that Saudi Arabia helped Egypt. And today, Obama is doing the same thing. We're supposed to receive in Egypt $130 million. And Mr. Obama refused to send this money to Egypt unless what? The Egyptian free, listen carefully, 16 Muslim Brotherhood jihadis. I'm not making this up. And I know some information about some of these Muslim jihadis, and I'm not going to go in this because we have our study for tonight, so I'm going to share with you a little bit, because I know a bunch of these things, and I'm going to share with some of these people as we go on our study. These are the top of the Muslim jihadis of Egypt. These are the ones who literally spreading the money to all Egypt, okay? Usama is 100% correct. Thank you for this statement written here by our dear friend. So, remember Biden when he stopped the money for the Ukraine? It's like these people running America as dictators. Remember this, Christy, because the Ukraine will most fire this... prosecutor who's the running against the company with Hunter Lynn.
This is how the Biden administration and probably a lot of Democrats, they go, oh, we're supposed to give you money? Well, we're not giving it to you unless you do what we want. Or we'll give you money to get you to do what we want. They're bribing and extorting to control.
So I'm going to play Ted Cruz for you. It's coming from Egypt. I'm sorry, I did not know how to get it in America. I don't even know if it's available in America. But it's coming from Egypt. So I'm going to play the video. It's a good five minutes maybe. I'm not sure how long. And then we'll go from there.
Like hints about the sort of people that the White House and the congressional Democrats may be trying to coerce our Egyptian allies into releasing. Buried inside a very recent Senate appropriations report, there is an instruction that seems very much like what we're seeing with these secret conditions. It came presumably from Senate Democrats, although we don't know who. No Senate Democrat has stood forward to own this language, but there is a Senate Democrat who authored this language.
That's something for me. Okay. Ted Cruz does not know who is the senator behind this language, behind this writing, because this is exactly what they're going to do anyway, which they are telling us they're going to stop. They're going to stop the aid to Egypt, 130, unless we freeze these 16, unless the Egyptian, we'll freeze the 16 Brotherhood jihad. First of all, these people are not in jail in Egypt because it's an open opinion. These people are found criminals. Our government in Egypt knows they're criminals. Their crime is aiding the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt with the millions of dollars, and without it, the Brotherhood in Egypt will strangle and die. I mean, the more money goes to the Brotherhood in Egypt, the more the Brotherhood will be in power. These people were giving money illegally to the Muslim Brotherhood of Egypt. And we know what is the source from. I believe, first of all, the information is given here from Elizabeth Warren. Why? I have an article here. I'm going to send it to you, Christy. And I want you to do me a favor and read for me. So what I'm going to do here, I'm going to go to Brandon. I'm going to send it to you so you can read for me, Christy, if you don't mind.
How are you sending it?
Text message.
Okay.
I'm going to send it to you. It's very simple. Copy. And let's find Christy here.
Yeah, I wasn't going to tell you I need a new phone, but
that's okay.
I may have to now.
God bless you, Christy. You'll be okay. You'll be okay.
Christy, when your pay will be four times, you can buy the phone very easily.
Yeah, that's true. Here you go, Christy. So I am sending you this thing here, okay? If you don't mind, get open it and get ready for me when I ask you to start reading for me.
Okay.
I know for sure there's ties between Elizabeth. By the way, here's some information for you, our dear friends. Every Democrat in this country, every Democrat, if you're a congressman, if you're a senator, if you're a governor, they have Muslim people working for them. And these Muslim people support them. And these Muslim people vote for them. And these Muslim people manipulate them. And these Muslim people tell them what to do. It just happened that Elizabeth Warren, as I have the official script to share with you, actually, she is working with these Muslim jihadi who are tied to the Muslim Brotherhood of Egypt. We know this for a fact. Okay? So, Christy, did you get the text message?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Do me a favor, let's open it. Let's open it and read for me what we have in the study. Just opening so we understand what is this money? Why we, the United States of America, are sending this money, this aid to Egypt? Go ahead.
Well, the headline reads, Biden administration pushes Egypt to free Muslim Brotherhood associates.
Keep going.
Is the Biden administration holding Egypt aid hostage in exchange for freeing a bloodthirsty Muslim Brotherhood leader?
Okay, keep going.
The Biden administration is currently withholding $130 million in security and counterterrorism assistance to the Egyptian government.
Why are we sending this money to Egypt? For what reason?
For security and counterterrorism assistance.
Oh, so we're helping them to secure the Middle East, to secure Egypt for fighting the terrorism. But what Biden is doing now, he's stopping sending $150 million for what reason? Until the Egyptians do what?
Unless 16 unnamed prisoners, among whom may be included a virulent anti-Semitic jihadist cleric are released from Egyptian prison.
You see this government of America? They're literally backwards.
It's crazy.
If it is good, they call it evil. If it's evil, they call it good. We're supposed to send $130 million to Egypt to help to secure the region, to help to get rid of the Muslim Brotherhood. But Mr. Biden will not send this money to Egypt unless the Egyptian government frees 16 Muslim jihadists. God help us.
Yeah, aren't those the people they're supposed to be keeping in jail to stop terrorism?
God help us. We're losing our mind. We're no longer here. Okay. Well, Adam, let's move on with the movie a little bit, with the video a little bit.
Certification by subsection A3A, the Secretary of State shall consider the cases of Ola Af Waradawi, Hossam Kala, Salah Sultan, Abdul Rahman Tariq, and Mohammed El Bakr.
That's something for a minute.
Many urges the human treatment and fair trials be afforded.
Ola Al Qardawi, of course the name means nothing to you, but she is the daughter of Sheikh Yusuf Al Qardawi. And if you have watched me when I taught before in different sessions, different programs here on StreamYard, we're going to repeat the study in our subject in the near future. When we study about Sharia, and we talked about Sharia finance, the man who is in charge of the Muslim Brotherhood, one of the spiritual advisors of the Muslim Brotherhood, who cannot come to America physically, he cannot enter our border by the airplane or by ship. Maybe he comes from the open border of South America, but he will not come to this country legally. His name is Yusuf Al-Qardawi. Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qardawi is the man in charge of the Sharia finance in America. What is Sharia finance in America? Some of the rich oil people came from Saudi Arabia to Wall Street and they said, we would like to invest our money in America. We would like to invest our money in America. So I said, sure. He said, but we are Muslims. Which means what? You have to invest it according to Sharia, Islamic law. What do you mean by that? You cannot invest our money in anything forbidden, like pornography, alcohol, unlawful meat, pork, stuff like that. Okay, no problem. We will invest your money somewhere else, different business. Then They said, we are charitable. We love to give Allah money. So what we want to do, what we want to do is, if we ever make money, because you invest in Wall Street, you lose all your money. If we ever make profit, 2.5% of that profit be given to charity organization. Who is in charge of the 2.5% of the charity is Imam Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qaradawi. That is the father of Ala Al-Qaradawi. Her husband and her, these are two of the five names he mentioned, Abdurrahman Tariq, Muhammad Al-Baqir, and the other three, which Ola and her husband, and which is Salah. The guy's name is Salah. I think he's going to talk about it in a minute. He's going to do the third person here. Ola and her husband, they are the one who take the millions from their daddy, Sheikh Yusuf Qaradawi, and bring it to Egypt and give it to the Muslim Brotherhood. They are literally empowering. They are empowering the Muslim Brotherhood by the money, which, by the way, that money comes out of America. When the American people practice Sharia finance, if you do not know how the American people practice Sharia finance, it's very simple. Next time you drink one Coca-Cola, when you drink this Coca-Cola, know for sure that 2.5% of that company, Coca-Cola, go to the Muslim Brotherhood. When you go to AIG Insurance, when you go to Bank of America, when you go to City Bank America, when you go to many, many businesses all over this country, Century 21, all these businesses, if you don't have the list and you need them, well, we can send them to you free of charge. Just write to me, usama@thestraightway.org, usama@thestraightway.org, and we will send you the list of all the banks and businesses and insurances in America who practice Sharia finance. 2.5% of all this money go to Yusuf Al-Qaradawi. Yusuf Al-Qaradawi, daughter and son-in-law, taking that money and give to the Muslim Brotherhood of Egypt. That's why they're in prison, you idiot. That's why you have no right to get them out of our prison. Not only are you going to destroy Egypt, but you're going to destroy America in the end. God help us. Adam, you want to say something, brother?
Yes, just to add to this point, brother, Yusuf Al-Qaradawi is one of the most prominent scholar of the Al-Azhar University,
sure.
Professor and scholar of Al-Azhar University, who stated in the live satellite telecast that killing an apostate like me is the most important thing which preserved Islam from the time of Muhammad. If apostates were not killed, Islam would have died
years ago,
right after the death of Muhammad. And he said right there, use Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah number 33, and he used multiple hadith kaseera from the Sahih Muslim and Sahih Bukhari and Sunan Ibn Dawud, and he said, there is no doubt that killing an apostate because he just left Islam is Sharia halal, and his blood is halal.
This is a very evil, wicked man, and he understood Islam very well. He is a scholar of Islam. He's not somebody radical extreme or fundamentalist as the liberals like to name him. No, he's 100% a strong Muslim believer. He's an evil. By the way, he has two wives. The mother of Allah has four girls and three boys, and he has another wife in Morocco. Oh boy, if we have time in the future, I can expose you, not just Yusuf Al-Qaradawi, and I can expose you his prophet Muhammad too, because he's no different than Muhammad. The man is sick. I'm not kidding you. His wife in Morocco, the Moroccan wife, a Muslim lady who is actually in the age of his granddaughter, maybe. She was a lot younger than him. I don't know. He may be 50 years older than her or whatever it was. But it doesn't matter. Told us so much about the immorality of her relationship with her on the first night after he married. He forced her to watch pornography. The same imam... But still in the Wall Street, you cannot investigate our money in unlawful or forbidden things like pornography. Force her to watch pornography in her first night. And then close her eyes, hide her eyes, so she will not see his body when he make love to her. Because he was not that attractive, number one. According to her word, that's not my word. That's what she said. And also, he was doing many things with her. Immoral in bed. If you can imagine, he is the spiritual leader, one of the top of the great scholar of the Azhar. We got the ability to prove it, we got the material to read it, but this is not the time, but we can do that later. Right now, I want to talk about the danger of the stupidity of Joe Biden to free 16 Muslim Brotherhood jihadi from the prison of Egypt, and I hope and I pray they will die and rot in that prison before they destroy Egypt and destroy America. Okay, let's move on. Keep going.
And these and other prisoners in Europe, in Egypt, rather. So apparently, for some mysterious unnamed Senate Democrat who's unwilling to put his or her name to it, these names are people the United States should champion. And it suggests the sorts of people Biden-Harris administration may be trying to extort Egypt into releasing. Who are they? Well, let's start with Saleh Soltan. Who is Saleh Soltan? He is a Muslim Brotherhood propagandist. He's a hate preacher. He is someone who goes on TV over and over again and preaches the most vicious sorts of libels against Jews. Why are Senate Democrats trying to release vicious anti-Semites? Why are they suggesting, if you go back
let me put it to you in simple words, let's put it in simple words about Saleh Soltan. That man, Saleh Soltan here, we got plenty of his videos available on YouTube. If you don't know Osama bin Laden, this like Osama bin Laden professor. He can teach Osama bin Laden Islam. He can teach and educate the dumb liberals of this country to understand what is coming to them. The man is 100% Muslim jihadi. Saleh Soltan is very evil. The difference between him and Osama bin Laden, we saw Osama bin Laden a few times on TV. That guy is all over the TV, all over the Muslim world, 100% a Muslim jihadi. Why in the world, Joe Biden is so interested to free that piece of garbage out of the Egyptian prison? Why? Can somebody give me an answer? Why are you holding $150 million from Egypt and making them hostage for free, a man who most likely will do greater attacks than September 11th in America? Most likely. Doesn't make any sense, Christy. Doesn't make any sense. Did you read in the article, Christy, where you find me the name of Elizabeth Warren?
Well, you'll have to let me get back to the article. Give me one second.
Okay, look for her name. Because I'm going to give you, from this article, the Muslim guy, the Muslim guy, the guy who worked with her, who volunteered to work for her, and he's her buddy, her best friend, maybe. Okay.
Okay,
let's
just
keep
a second.
For the video, brother, until Christy finds it, speak with me and read about Elizabeth Warren.
Why are they suggesting in the appropriation language that the United States should be fighting to release that anti-Semite and hate preacher? We don't know, because Senate Democrats aren't defending that position, and the administration refuses to answer.
And here, stop for a minute.
Who are some of the other people?
You have to understand. If a Muslim man hates Israel that bad, he hates America 10 times worse. Let me repeat myself in case you didn't hear me. If a Muslim man hates Israel that bad, he most likely hates America 10 times worse. Why? Because Israel, to the Muslim of the Middle East, Israel to Saleh Soltan, is a small devil. America is the great city. I mean, literally, they think they can take over Israel, no problem. That's no problem. They will take over Israel. That's in their mind. Of course, not in biblical teaching, not in reality concerning the end of time. But if they hate Israel 10%, they hate America 100%. So don't you dare think, oh, he's anti-Jew. When you see Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and all the Muslims who are running in our government now, when you see him speak of hatred towards Israel, that is a small taste of how much they hate America. And they are our congressmen and women. They are our state attorney, Kisas, and others of Muslims who are coming to power in this country because of the stupid party is called the Democrats. Keep going, brother. Keep going.
Oh, on that list. Well, you have Mohammed El-Bakr. He was a Salafist youth activist. He was part of the revolutionary youth who started the revolution. And he's been implicated in security violations.
No. Muhammad al-Bakr, let me explain to you. He was one of the top leaders in Rabah. Rabah is where the Muslim Brotherhood were doing their jihad in Egypt. So he's not just some guy preaching a sermon in a church. Muhammad al-Bakr is literally one of the top leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood in the middle of the revolution of Egypt. He is the one who killed many Christians. He's the one who literally went against our government. And that's why he's arrested. That's why he's in prison. You see, Obama is so stupid that he frees the prisoners from Gitmo to send them overseas so he can start the ISIS jihadi organization. Biden is now following the steps of Obama. That's why we call Biden, third term of Obama. He is going to free the Muslim Brotherhood. Not only the 16, trust me. 16 is step number one. If they can free the 16, they're going to free 160, they're going to free the 3,000. Egyptian prison, ladies and gentlemen, is loaded with thousands of Muslim Brotherhood. The reason we have some peace right now in Egypt, not for peace, some peace, because so many of the Muslim Brotherhood are in prison. And if we can free the 16 and free 160 and free the 3,400 and free the last Muslim Brotherhood in our prisons in Egypt, that means you can test the democracy and the freedom and the strengths which we have in Egypt goodbye, and you can kiss America afterwards goodbye, because trust me, so many of these people will be coming to America to work in our government as senators and governors and congressmen and women. They are coming from Egypt to work in the parliament of America, or they're coming from Egypt to perform jihad in America. Which way you want? I want in the government, they're going to wait until the final day to do the biggest jihad, and you can kiss America goodbye. The other one to do just a little bit, you know, a little bit here, like September 11th, nothing big. Really. Christy, did you find Elizabeth Warren?
Yes, I have it.
Read it for me. Because Mr. Cruz was trying to tell us a minute that we do not know who is the senator. Here we go, Chris.
Okay, I'm going to start at the paragraph that explains this person. Sultan is currently in an Egyptian prison, convicted of incitement to murder. He was formerly a U.S. resident, but his application for naturalization was denied after Sultan appeared at a Hamas rally in Turkey. Mm-hmm. Sultan's son, Mohammed Sultan, also a known Muslim Brotherhood affiliate, was released from Egyptian prison, where he faced charges of leading violence at the Rabah Square protests following the country's ouster of the Muslim Brotherhood government. The Muslim Brotherhood regularly recruits among families. The younger Sultan currently runs Freedom Initiative, which advocates for the release of those they identify as political prisoners, mostly Islamists, from Egyptian prison. And his cause has been championed by prominent Democrats, including Senator Elizabeth Warren, for whom the younger Sultan served as a campaign surrogate.
Whoa.
Here we go,
America. Sister Elizabeth Warren got this Muhammad Sultan, the daddy we saw the picture a minute ago with Ted Cruz, and he is an evil, savage man. But his son were working with Elizabeth Warren to help her through it. Can you imagine if Elizabeth Warren is our president, you have the Muslim Brotherhood with her in the White House? I said it earlier, and I repeat myself, every Democrat, Congress, Senate, Mayor, Governor, I don't care what they are. Let me give you an example. The governor of Minnesota, one of the advisors he has, his name is Julani Hussein. How do I know that? Because I know Julani Hussein, and I know exactly what Julani Hussein. He's an advisory for the governor of Minnesota. Who's Julani Hussein? A member of CARE. Who's CARE? A Muslim Brotherhood. Trust me, America. Trust me. I wish I had the money and the time, but I don't have neither. And I can go to each and every one of these congressmen and senators and governors, Democrats, and I promise you, all of them are supported and manipulated by the Muslim. Not any Muslim. Muslim Brotherhood. Muhammad Sultan's son.
the dad is in prison and the son helping Elizabeth walk. How much do you need more than that, Kristen?
Yeah, it's crazy, Usama, because this is what we've been talking about, the manipulation not only of women in Islam or women by Muslims to get married, have children in America who are American citizens, but they also target our political people in Washington, D.C. They go, they support them, they, you know, oh, I'm going to help you with your campaign, let me raise money. Remember when Obama's people were raising money for him from the Middle East?
And it's only $25 pops. So literally everyone goes $25. In one day, I can send Obama $1 million by myself. It's $25. In 60 seconds, I can make 25 times 60. In a minute, another in an hour, another 60. You'd be surprised. If you have 10,000 youths, and each one is sending to Obama $25, and they're selling hats, yes, we can. And the, all this garbage Obama started. So they were making money in the millions.
Yes.
From the Muslim Brotherhood and the jihadi worldwide. If the Democrats cannot figure out that their party is the entry gate for Muslims to take over America, if the Democrats cannot understand that they are used as useful idiots for the Muslims to take over America, America will never be fixed.
And Republicans
in the last election is following the blueprint of the cheating of the Muslim Brotherhood when they won the election in Egypt,
yes.
When Mohammed Morsi, as the head of the Brotherhood, became our president. Same system. They did it in Egypt. They did it for Obama in America. They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the video and watch a little bit more for this cruise because I really want to go back to our teaching. Go ahead.
Qara Dawi. She is the daughter of Yusuf al-Qaradari, who is one of the major voices for jihad inside the Muslim Brotherhood. The paper trail on her is deliberately opaque from both sides. How about Hossam Khalaf? He is Ola al-Qaradari's husband, and he's been allegedly connected to a Muslim Brotherhood offshoot. How about Abdulrahman Tarek? Well, that's an unknown. Presence has not been accounted for publicly. These names that mysteriously appeared in a Senate Appropriations report, when I asked Ms. Leaf about it, she provided 1,000 words and not a single name. And I will tell you that actually the names on that list are not secrets from Congress. They have been provided to Congress in a classified form. So, Madam President, you and I can go into a secure skiff, and we can read it in the skiff. We can read the names. You know what we're not allowed to do? Tell anyone what the names are. Why is it those names are classified? They're classified because President Biden and Vice President Harris don't want the American people to know who it is they're trying to release. There's no reasonable justification for those names to be classified. They're extorting our friend and ally, Egypt, to get 16 people released from jail, and they refuse to tell us who. The American people have a right to know if the Biden administration is trying to pressure our allies to release Muslim Brotherhood extremists, if the Biden-Harris administration is trying to get our allies to release anti-Semites, and if they are, to hear a justification for why. But Ms. Leaf instead simply defies the Senate and refuses to answer.
All right. Here is my last word I'm going to say. I hope and I pray that our president in Egypt, as I thought as Egyptian, will stand firm, take his stand firm, will not bend to Obama or any liberal Democrats in this country. We can take this 130 million, 1 billion, 130 million. As I talked yesterday on Mike Lindell TV to give my advice to my president, I repeat again tonight, all what Mr. Al-Sisi needs to do, the president of Egypt needs to do is literally do not allow any ships any American ships, military or for goods, to cross our great Suez Canal. It is our canal, and if Mr. O'Biden will stop the money, the aid to go to Egypt, the $130 million, we can also stop any ships from crossing the Suez Canal. You know how much this will cost the American tax money? $150 million plus millions and millions and millions. Literally, it will be in the billions of dollars. Because for the ship not to go through the Red Sea, Suez Canal, to go from India or from the Pacific Ocean to Europe, to the Mediterranean Sea, you're talking about they're going to go all the way around Africa. You know how long is that? That's much longer than the ships to go from California to come to Florida. Much longer. Good luck, Mr. O'Biden. You cannot twist the arm of the Egyptian. Egyptians are stronger than they ever have been. Egyptian will not submit to you or your garbage idea of destroying Egypt for the love of your Muslim jihadi of America. No. I hope and I pray Assisi stand firm and shut the Suez Canal from any American interest, and they will beg him, kiss not his hand, they will kiss his feet and give him $150 million, maybe $130 billion. This is just my poor, simple advice to my president. But the reality here, my friends, so we can move on with our study, that what the Democrats are doing right now to Egypt is exactly what Biden did to the Ukraine. It's exactly what Obama did to the Egyptian years ago. It is exactly the manipulation. Now it's payback. The Muslim of America helped Biden to win. The Muslim in America are helping all these garbage Democrats to win their seats, their positions. And it's time for Elizabeth Warren, Biden, and everybody else, because we got everybody, Democrats, have some Muslim behind their back. It's not just for their back. What is the payback? Three. Not just the 16 terrorists, but maybe 3,600 terrorists. Because that's how Obama did it years ago. He did not free Gizmo Club one time. He used to release 50, remember, Christy? And then release another 20,
yeah.
And release another 40, and release another 80. And how many prisons we have in Gizmo? We have nothing in Gizmo. You know what? Because they're all back in the Middle East, ISIS, Taliban, and Al-Qaeda. God have mercy on
them. You remember, this is also a tactic he used when they had the military hunting for Bo Bergdahl. Do you remember?
Yes.
And so he released all these.
I remember in our video,
yes.
Review the Truth, Barack Hussein Obama, I believe that's one, or Freedom of Surrender, has said, Obama claimed to kill Bin Laden, but he created five new Bin Ladens.
And
I got the video. You can go and watch it. We still have the video recorded years ago. And nobody ever believed me. Oh, you saw my these are. You know what they're going to call these Muslims they were trying to free in Egypt? They're going to call them freedom fighters. They're going to call them political reasons they're in prison. They find some stupid excuse to pressure the Egyptians to free them. But I hope and I pray they will die. They will rot and die in the prison, in physical death, and then they will rot in hell, because that's who they are. These are the people who killed the Christians. These are the people who raped the Christians. These are the people who hate Israel. These are the people who hate America. There is no one reason. I would love for any Democrat to come on the show right now and give me one reason why Biden should pressure the Egyptians to free 16 Muslim jihadi of the Muslim Brotherhood.
I just want to mention, of those five that Obama had released, weren't at least two of them in leadership in Afghanistan?
Sure.
In the Taliban?
The Taliban leaders.
Yes. And so now we got this Afghanistan mess that, by the way, well, who's talking about that now? And we still have Americans there. We still have many people.
Let's take a quick break, guys. I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back after this break, we will leave war and women Islam, if you don't mind, Christy. All right, here we go.
Many people have serious questions about the religion of Islam. Who are Muslims and what do they believe? Liberal Muslim scholars and clerics spin the news and continually promote Islam as the religion of peace and that Jews, Christians, and Muslims worship the same God. But is this true? where can we turn for the answers? To truly know what a faith teaches, you have to go to the book. And for the last 1,400 years, that book for Muslims is the Quran. This collection of the sayings and teachings that Muhammad claimed to have received from Allah is the sacred text for over a billion Muslims worldwide. But the Quran was written in Arabic, so how can we in the West learn what it really says? Muslim apologists have produced several English translations over the years, but these have been carefully edited to hide many of the blatant errors, immoral teachings, and violent commands throughout the book.
In the beginning of our ministry, we decided to tell the truth about Islam. Therefore, we decided to buy the English translation of the Quran to use the verses which is written there. Sadly, I could not find one Quran to present the truth as it is written in the Arabic language. They sugarcoat it. They water it down. That's why we decided to go ahead and translate the Quran from Arabic to English, a true English translation.
The Straight Way of Grace Ministry, in cooperation with Arab and English scholars from around the world, has produced the most accurate English translation of Islam's holy book ever printed. Read for yourself exactly what Muhammad taught his followers about war and violence, about sex and marriage, about the treatment of infidels, and more importantly, what he said about Jesus.
Islam is not what I share with you or what some modern Muslims tell you. Islam is the verses of the Quran. We must separate Muslim from Islam. There are so many wonderful Muslim people out there, but they are not true Muslim because simply they don't practice what the Quran teaches. So many American people say they accept Islam. They do not have any problem for Muslims to practice Islam in America, but same people rejecting Sharia, Islamic law, not knowing that Sharia, Islamic law, is the practice of the verses of the Quran.
This translation has been produced with a modern student in mind, with several key features including study notes for the reader, detailed notes concerning errors and contradictions in the text, careful comparisons between the Quran and biblical accounts, and references to the original sources that Muhammad borrowed from. Special sections discuss key topics such as a compilation of non-Arabic words and idioms found in the Quran, an easy-to-follow chart outlining the fulfilled prophecies concerning Jesus in the Old Testament, and a challenging gospel invitation to introduce the reader to the scientific, historical, and biblical reasons for accepting the true Jesus as the only Lord and Savior.
In the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." It is time for us to read the Quran. It's time for us to find the truth for ourselves.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Read the Quran for yourself and understand the roots of this dangerous faith. Individual copy and case pricing are available.
Welcome back. We're glad to have you. And I hope and I pray that if you do not have this translation of the Quran, you get yourself a copy. By the way, it's available as an e-book in our website. Just go to thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org, and you can get yourself a copy of the Quran. When you go there, by the way, check out the rest of our materials. We got a bunch of books. We got 5 books. And we got 2 booklets. And also, we got lots of videos, 9 DVDs with 18 hours worth of teaching. 18 and a half hours, I believe, to go all of these videos. But anyway, Christy, good to have you with me tonight. And if you have anything else you want to share before we get to our study, Women in Islam?
Yeah, just one thing. If you want to know the details about the Obama administration, I mean, yeah, you may want to look at Freedom or Surrender, which is a two DVD set that was recorded less than a year into the Obama administration, and it will really open your eyes. And the names you're going to see in that DVD video.
When people watch this two DVD set, they think I recorded like maybe 4 years ago, 3 years ago, after Obama finished his term. No, when you watch Freedom of Surrender, I talked about Obama and what Obama would do before he did anything.
Yes.
That was literally few months after he became a president.
Yeah, when you see the names of the people that were brought up in this video, because you were talking about the Muslims who were a part of his administration, and these names will pop up again. You'll see them on the news if they're talking about different cabinet positions, different people who are on committees helping the Biden administration. That's why you call it the old Biden.
Exactly. Well, let's move on to our study. I'm going to share the screen with you. Lord is willing, if I know how to do it right, so share, and we'll go to share screen, and I get the sound here, and I go to window here, and here is, I believe, where we stopped last hour, no, last program. Is that correct, Chrissy? I believe that's correct.
I believe it is, yes.
Here.
Hold yes. On.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Let us listen to Dr. Ruqayya Abdul Maqsood. Remember, Ruqayya Abdul Maqsood is actually a British Muslim lady who is married to a Pakistani Muslim man who actually divorced her to marry her first cousin because she was young and beautiful. After all, she was stupid enough to wear this book, God, become a good Muslim. I wrote over 30 books on the topic of Islam. She is an expert on Islam, and she, with all respect, knew nothing. She knows nothing about your mom. We're going to prove this as we continue our study, Women in Islam.
How can you respect a religion that forces women to explore themselves?
Turn it up.
Mutilates their genitals, forbids them to drive cars, and subjects them to humiliation of instant divorce. A woman forbidden from driving a car in Riyadh will cheerfully take the wheel when abroad, confident that her country's bizarre law has nothing to do with Islam. In fact, none of these practices are Islamic at all.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, we know for sure she's a scholar. She knows what is in Islamic law. She knows what is the real practice of Islam. And she knows that all these things she's talking about is simply bizarre laws of the Saudi Arabia. You just give this Muslim lady in Saudi Arabia the wheel, and you will be happy, cheerfully driving the car. Yeah, if they can. If they can. Even when they changed the law in Saudi Arabia a few years ago, as they said, women can drive the car if, I love if. If is the biggest word you can read in the Quran. And if is the biggest word you read in any laws of any Muslim country. If the husband said it's okay. If the daddy said it's okay. Well, good luck for any husband in Saudi Arabia to say it's okay for his wife to drive a car. Because trust me, if she drives a car, she will be cheerful, happy to run out of the country. But guess what? Even if she have a driver license, and even if she can drive the car, she cannot get out of the border of the Saudi Arabia. You know why? Because the law of the Saudi Arabia said nobody can leave the country. No female can leave the country unless the husband gives okay. So even if the husband said, it's okay, honey, you can get a driver license before. Go ahead. But he will not give the okay for her to escape his country. And if you are a Muslim lady living in Saudi Arabia, as you're going to see from the rest of our study here, who fulfill their duty before Allah, Saudi Muslim, practice Sharia. Saudi Muslim, practice Islam. If you are a Muslim lady and you live in Saudi Arabia, trust me, you will commit suicide with your car if you cannot get out of this country, if you can sit and drive the car. Okay? So how can you respect a religion that forces women into polygamy marriages? She said, any person with logic and common sense should never respect a religion which forces polygamy. Polygamy is four wives in Islam, plus unlimited number of concubines and slaves, plus marriage for fun, plus what else do you need? That's plenty. She said polygamy in Islam, which is practiced in the Muslim countries, are not Islamic laws. These are stupid, bizarre laws of the land. Have nothing to do with Islam. Did you hear her? Let me read it to you. He says, in fact, none of these practices are Islamic at all. She know what Islam is. You know why? Because she's stupid. She listened to his Pakistani husband. And he told her, honey, sweetheart, I love you. I love you so much. And I want you to drive a car. Well, but something Islamic. No. This is the bizarre law of Saudi Arabia. But as a Muslim man, I want you to be a woman. Honey, you don't even cover yourself in hijab, as we're going to see later. From Dr. Sahar. Dr. Sahar. We're going to talk about Dr. Sahar. So what do we have here? Mutilate their genitals. I'm sorry, I can't even use this word. Mutilate. Circumcise their female. Mutilate their genitals. Forbid them from driving a car. Oh, instant divorce. If a Muslim man look at his wife and he says, honey, you're divorced, That's not Islamic. This is just stupid culture. Because what is Islam? We're going to learn about divorce a little bit from Dr. Rukiya al-Maksud, which, by the way, she taught to Dr. Sahar. And Dr. Sahar is teaching to all the other American Muslims who are teaching to your children and your grandchildren, and may Allah bless America, and may Allah bless Islam in America. Why? Because we believe in garbage Islam. But the point of what you see here, that these are bizarre laws. This has nothing to do with Islam. In fact, you know, when a Muslim say, in fact, you know what it means to me? I'm lying. Jalani Hussein did a study about Islamophobia. He used the word, in fact, I believe over 100 times in his speech, which, by the way, we'll be covering here in our study as the days come and weeks go and years go. We got plenty of material. You guys are going to get tired of learning new information all the time as we meet here. Jalani Hussein said, in fact, you know what I challenge him for a debate? I challenge him on the debate, on the subject of Islamophobia, if he can prove to me one of what he had in his speech, in his seminar, show me one in fact to be fact. If he can prove to me that one of his in fact in his study is accurate, he wins the debate. I'm not even talking about the other lies. I'm talking about every time he say in fact, okay? Let's type down what he said after impact and put it in a square, in a slide, in a PowerPoint, and I want him, in my debate with him, to show me, prove to me, one of these over 100 in fact to be true. He lied every time he used the word in fact. Can you imagine that with me?
Is he the same one that wouldn't come on the TV news program with you?
Got it. He actually lied, Christy, for 2 years in Minnesota and in South Dakota, telling all the people I met there that I am running away from him. I will debate him. I'm running away from him. I didn't even know the man. I gave my car to people. I said, give it to your Jalani Hussein. After I found out who is he, I said, well, you're running away from Mr. Jalani Hussein. I said, oh, I'm sorry. Here we go. Here's my business card. Ask him to call me anytime. It was my first day about 5-6 years ago. And I went to Chris Berg, his TV show, which is 6:30 news. By the way, the two sets of DVD, the two interviews, 7.5 minutes each, are available on our website. Okay, go on watch. Are available on YouTube. Okay? Now, he refused to show up on the set. Even Chris Berg begged him, and I told him he will not show up. I canceled my birthday party. I told Vicky and my friends, you can have a party without me. Because I'm staying. I went to the studio in the morning to record my segment, and you can watch on the news. You think I'm sitting in the studio. And when I found out from Brother Chris that it is Jalani Hussein who will have him for the second half, I said, no way. I am staying. He said, I spot you. What? He said, you cannot come. I said, don't worry. It's just my birthday. Forget about it. And I stayed all day in the studio. And in the evening, he never showed up. As he begged him, and he begged, go watch the videos. They will speak for themselves. Okay? Let's move on. Let's go with Dr. Rukiya Jamal Abdul Maksud. Rukiya Abdul Maksud.
Turn it up.
So the banning girls from school is forbidden in Islam, which encourages all Muslims to seek knowledge from cradle to grave from every source possible.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! See, Afghan women used to be educated before the Taliban. So the problem in Afghanistan is Taliban. Now, let's forget about Afghanistan. Muhammad used to work for his boss by the name Khadija before Muhammad became a prophet. And after Muhammad became a prophet, he's still married to Khadija by herself until Khadija died. And what happened to all the women who used to own business after Muhammad became a strong prophet? Women cannot leave their homes. Women stay at their homes. Quran 63:53. Women cannot do this. Women cannot do business. Wait a minute. Is the problem is in Taliban or in Islam? Is the problem is in Muhammad or in Islam? You're not following me, Christy. Before Muhammad was a strong prophet, women used to run business and men worked for them. After Muhammad became a prophet and Khadija died, he forbade women to do all the things which women used to do. So where is the problem then? It is in Islam. It is in Muhammad. Where is the problem in Taliban? Taliban are Muslim believers who follow the teachings of Quran. But this she said, listen to this. That banning girls from school is forbidden in Islam. Banning girls from school is forbidden in Islam. Okay. I know that eating pork meat is forbidden in Islam. And I got 3 verses to share with you to prove to you that you should not eat pork meat. Unless if you're compelled. And here is unless. Except. If you're compelled, eat under 2 conditions. You don't desire it, and you go, oh boy, I'm going to get some ham meat. No, don't desire it, and you don't go for second. So you fill your dish one time, pork, whatever you're going to eat, sausage, and eat it, and don't you dare go back for a second. So I got the verse to prove that eating pork meat is forbidden unless you're compelled. Okay, that's the only food that's available. Now, where she can go, where Dr. Ruqiyya Abdul Maqsood can go, in the Quran or in the teaching of Muhammad and show me that banning girls from school is forbidden in Islam. Does she have a verse? Now, listen to this. Which encourages all Muslims to seek knowledge. Who? Islam. I would love to see what verse in the Quran where Muhammad said, teach all Muslims knowledge. From cradle to grave, from every source possible. I don't know what Dr. Ruqiyya was smoking or drinking before she wrote this article, but she's really under some heavy stuff. I would encourage her and Muslims like her to stop smoking and drinking, whatever they're smoking or drinking or whatever drugs they're taking, because that's not good for their brain if they have anything left there. Okay? Let's move on. Listen to what Muhammad taught. See? Forbidding girls from going to school is forbidden in Islam, but not to Muhammad. Muhammad said the opposite, okay? Here we go. Tell me, Muhammad, should I teach my ladies, my girls, my sisters to be educated? Okay? Okay? Here we go.
Got to turn it up.
Not right. Teach them to stand and recite Surah Al-Nur.
Are you saying something, Christy?
Yeah. It's really hard to hear. You need to turn it up. From the beginning.
It's the highest you can get.
No, it starts out really quiet and then it went louder. So.
Well, that's something because my internet is weak here. I apologize. All right. Maybe. Something in the community. But I cannot make it any louder. That's the louder you're going to get.
Okay.
Muhammad said, what? Do not let women into all the rooms. Oh. That goes Quran 33, 33. That's exactly what Allah said in the Quran. Stay in their houses. But then this is it. And do not teach them how to write. Oh, you see, Muhammad taught them, ordered the Muslim believer not to teach their women how to write, but he orders him to teach the women how to read. Does this make any sense to you, Christy? Don't teach them how to write, but you can teach them how to read.
But only...
if you cannot write, you cannot read. Read and writing is one thing, okay? Teach them to spin. You know what spin? Make clothes, make fabric out of, wool, okay? And to recite Surah An-Nur. Surah An-Nur is Quran chapter 24, which we're just happy to quote for you a couple of verses in this study from that chapter. Memorization of the Quran does not require education. The plenty of Muslims in the world from Muhammad days until today who demonically are able to memorize the entire Quran. Some of them don't speak Arabic. That's why I say demonically. I'm not kidding you, Christy. When I was in Indonesia, and I met with some of the Muslim people there, 20, or actually some of them were like 14 or 15. And he stood in front of me bragging about his ability to recite the Quran. And I'm not kidding. The guy... Go in any choose any chapter, friend. Go and say, let's recite Surah An-Nur, Quran chapter 24. Even the beginning, it's just he thought, and you go all the way. The whole entire chapter. He actually can recite it better than I can recite it. Because sometimes you don't pronounce it good. If you're not looking at the vowels above and below the letters of the word, you may read it wrong. Kutiba, kataba, yaktubu, yuktubu. If you did something, if you don't know Arabic, you know what I'm saying about. Adam knows what I'm talking about. Okay? So, these Muslims are so sharp, so smart, that they memorize the entire Quran in the Arabic language. So, reciting the Quran, memorizing the Quran does not require an education. Okay? And the beauty about it, that guy, 15, 16 years old, who memorized the entire Quran, cannot speak to me in Arabic. So when I say, how are you? I hope you have a great day today. What time did you go to bed last night? What time did you wake up this morning? How many meals do you eat during the day? How many times do you pray in the day? I'm not kidding. Simple sentence in Arabic. And I thought maybe I'm speaking to a friend. So I slow down. So, inta amil e. Kaifa haluka. I'm just saying, how are you in different ways? And then he laughed and smiled. He said, I don't speak Arabic. A man memorized the Quran, but he does not speak Arabic. And he prayed five times a day in the Arabic language. Allahu Akbar, takbir, Allahu Akbar. That's how beautiful Islam is. It is dumb for numbers. It's dumb for numbers. So, Muhammad, Sister Ruqayyah, said the opposite of what you claim that Islam teaches. Don't teach your children to read or to write, of course, don't educate them, and don't let them go all over the house and move from one room to another room. No, one corner of the house will be fine. One corner of the room will be fine, okay? And teach them to study and memorize Surah Al-Nur. You have something else you want to share, Christy, or Brother Adam, before we move on? Christy, are you okay?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm listening, and I'm reading some of the comments in our chat.
And just to add you in, there are many of my friends who has memorized many of the surahs of Quran, yet they do not know jack what they have memorized. And you're absolutely right. There are many hafiz in Pakistan. And I met them personally because I used to do itikaf in Ramadan. And they don't know jack what they're speaking, but they can memorize and they can regurgitate whatever they are reading.
It's amazing, man. It's amazing. I love the passage in the Bible. When the Ethiopian eunuch was riding in his chariot. He was from the country of Ethiopia, and he was in Israel, and he was obviously a rich man. He can buy the scroll of Isaiah, and he was reading, Isaiah 53. What a great place to read. And the Lord asked Philip to walk or run next to the chariot. Walk, so chariot is not going slow. He says, chariot is walking, and he's walking. He reads Isaiah 53. And he was, let me read to you what we have in Isaiah 53, so I can show you the passage exactly. I'm not making it up. Here's the Bible, Isaiah 53, a very great passage, okay? And مَشْرُوحْ لَأَجْلِ مَعْصِينَا مَسْحُوقْ لَأَجْلِ أَسْتَامِنَا أَدِيبْ سَلَامًا عَلَيْهُ وَبِحِبُرُ الشِّفِينَ I know the Arabic, I don't know the English, but let's read together here. Let's read together here it is. What the gentleman was reading. Isaiah 53. Powerful, powerful passage. 53. And let's go to verse 7. He was bruised and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Or not this one, as we anyway.
For me to get it.
I can't see the passage exactly where the guy was reading. And anyway, all like a sheep have gone away, and he was turned to everyone. Not this one. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet and did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So as this Jewish man was reading the text, Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I unless somebody explains to me? Come on in. He sat with him in the chariot, shared with him the gospel, explained to him everything about Jesus, came to fulfill that which is written in Isaiah 700 years, written 700 years before Christ. And then he said, and by the way, Philip said, you know, and after you believe in Jesus, and he died on the cross for your sin and he rose again, you need to be baptized. I said, whoa, stop. Here's water. What forbid me from being baptized? Said nothing. If you believe, it's okay. You went under the water, Philip and the Ethiopian and the baptized man. You went under the water, came from the water, and the spirit took Philip. Philip is gone. But the question which caught my attention, is, do you understand what you're reading?
Yeah.
Now my question to all our dear Muslim friends who memorize the Quran, do you understand that you have memorized? But Adam said, and I say myself, no. They have no clues. They're memorizing. All right. Let's move on with us. Here we go.
For the most part, it does not differentiate between male and female. Man and woman, it says, were created of a single soul and are moral equals in the sight of God. Women have the right to divorce, to inherit property, to conduct business, and to have access to knowledge.
We already talked about knowledge, Dr. Rukaya. There's no knowledge in Islam. You know, access to knowledge. As a matter of fact, Muslim men do not have access to knowledge. Muhammad never said, teach your children to read and write, boys or girls. He said, Allima awladukum al-rimaya wa tibaha wa al-kubul khair. Teach your men, awladukum, your son, the male one, not the female. Teach them what? How to throw the spear, how to swim, how to ride the horses, how to do the sword. Teach your sons to be militant. Teach your sons to be jihadi. Teach them how to fight. That is what Muhammad advised the Muslim men. Not women, no girls. Just seek knowledge, get out of your head. Because you don't have the knowledge to talk about it. Okay? Now, let's talk about this. In the Quran is addressed to all Muslims and for the most part of it, you know what? The Quran is written for men and hardly talk to women. And when he talk about women, he did not do what you hope that the Quran will do to women, as we're going to see in many verses in the Quran. Men and women, it says, were created from a single soul. That is a dumb verse. I'm going to read it to you in a minute because I quoted for her. By the way, when Muslims talk about any subject, like the here, women in Islam, Dr. Sahar will hardly quote you any verses in the Quran to support her propaganda. That's why we call it propaganda. It's lies. If you don't have the proof from the words of Allah in the Quran and the teaching of Muhammad in the Hadith and the Sunnah of Muhammad, then I'm sorry. You're spreading propaganda. You are a big, fat liar. And that's what Muslims are in the West. Now, so men, it says, created from a single soul, and this is it, and are moral equal in the sight of God. In the eye of God, listen to this. In the eye of God, men and women are equal. But in the word of God, they're not equal. So I ask Dr. Rukaya, have you went inside God's head and looked through his eye to see through his eye that he really actually believes that men and women are equal? How do you know? I mean, in the sight of Allah, in the eyes of Allah, as Muslims always repeat, it's the same lie, it's the same blue book. They use it in England, they use it in Sweden, they use it in Germany, they use it in America. Trust me, they're using it in everywhere they can deceive somebody into Islam. In the eyes of God, men were equal. In the sight, that's the difference. Here, Dr. Sahar said, in the eyes of God. Dr. Rakeh said, in the sight of Allah. Okay? In the sight of Allah, they're equal. But in his words, they're not equal. Who should I believe? You or Allah's words? I see, I never looked in Allah's eyes, and I have no clue. How can you see in the eyes of Allah that he thinks that men and women are equal? When he did not even create the people. When he declares throughout the Quran, they're not equal. Now, she said, women have the right. You know what right is? That something does not happen in Islam. Sorry, right. The R-I-G-H-T does not exist in Islam. Not for women, not for men. To be a Muslim, listen carefully, guys. To be a Muslim, you submit. You surrender. Guess you're right outside the door of the mosque before you go to see the Shahada. Because after you see the Shahada, that's right you never see again. Not women, not men, not anybody in Islam has any right. Zero right. So, let's continue. Women have the right. No, women have no right. Men in Islam have no right to divorce. Really? Adam, when you have a chance, come to the mic and tell me, how many women in your home country or in the Muslim world, how many women was able to divorce her husband?
Zero. They can only request for khula. It's a request. They cannot say, I divorce you, bye-bye. No. They can only request.
Women in your country do not have the right to divorce their husband like in her Lala land?
That would be in the Lala land, not in the reality.
Okay. I know that women have the right to inherit property. How much? We'll find out later. She has to conduct business. How about that? No conduction business. You have no right to run business as a woman in your any Muslim country. As a matter of fact, you just go ahead and start the business. Al-Qaeda, the Brotherhood, the Taliban, Al-Shabaab, Fatah, Hamas, Hezbollah, they will come and burn you with your business. How do you like that? What do you mean have the right to run business? In Sharia, in Islam, we see it. We got the law, we got the Sharia law, the Islamic law of Saudi Arabia. The Sharia, Islamic law of Saudi Arabia. Let's see King Fahd. What does he think about women conduct business? It's coming, just calm down, that. Okay? And to have access to knowledge, we already talked about, there's no access to knowledge, good luck. First of all, here is the verse which Dr. Ruqayya talked about. She never mentioned, but she talked about the single soul. Okay? Listen to the word of Allah to show you that theologically, this is an error. That does not happen, okay?
Fear your Lord who created you from a single soul and created a wife from it, and from them he spread many men and women, and fear Allah of whom you ask of him and the womb. Surely Allah was watching over you.
With all respect, I don't think Muslims know the difference between soul and body and spirit. These are three words. Sadly, they don't have access to soul and body and spirit. That's what we are made of. Every one of us has soul and body and spirit. Now, animals have soul and body, but don't have spirit. Because the spirit which God put into Adam nurtures, which make him a living being, does not exist in animals. That's why when animals die, that's over. The soul is in the blood, and the body, of course, you see my body, and the spirit is what makes me alive. Now, Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. The word nafs is the word soul. Nafash in Hebrew. I'm sorry. Adam and Eve were not created from one soul. There are two separate souls. You know, Christy, when people say there is so much in love, they're like one apple broken to two pieces, like one heart broken to two pieces. There's so much, they're like one soul. Excuse me. No such a thing as Adam's soul have anything to do with Eve's soul. Adam's soul is in him, Eve's soul is in her. Adam's spirit is in him, Eve's spirit is in her. Adam's flesh is in him. Yes, God took a portion from Adam's flesh, it was a rib, and he created from it Eve. But Adam's soul and Eve's soul are not the same. Eve's soul was not created from Adam's soul because Adam did not have a soul after Allah created Eve from Adam. You got this, Adam? Adam, my hero.
I am here, brother. Yeah, I'm missing a rib, brother.
You got my point? Adam's soul and Eve's soul are two separate souls?
Yes.
Thank you. So that is the verse she's quoting. Now, let's see, in the word of Allah, not in the eye of Allah or the sight of Allah, because I'm sorry, I know nothing about Allah's eyes or Allah's sight. He never sent me any emails or text message or he never called me. So all I know about Allah is his word. If Dr. Ruqayya has talked to Allah and she know in his eye or in his sight, man and woman equal, I don't believe that's true. Let's move this from the teaching of the Quran. Here we go. It's a matter of retaliation. Quran
2:117.
So Allah has told us if somebody commits murder, you don't kill the somebody. Why? You need to retaliate for revenge equal to that which you have lost. Wait a minute. I thought women in Islam equal to men. Equal to slave. No. Easy. Take it easy. Now back up a little bit. Women and men and slaves are not equal. There's a point that you have to come to the savage teaching of the Quran concerning retaliation. How is that? If I am a slave and I kill Adam, and Adam is a free man, Adam family will not kill me, the slave, they kill my boss, the free man who owned me. If one of my, if I killed one of Adam's slaves, okay, brother Adam, secret, he has some slaves, and if I kill one of his slaves and I'm a free man, he has no right to touch me, not even with a thin yard. He only can kill one of my slaves because he only killed equal to what he loved. What did he lose, Adam? I lost a slave. How old is he? 22. Find a slave from Usama, somebody around 22, maybe 20, 25, but close to it, and kill him. If I killed Adam's wife, which is a, she's a female, okay? Adam have no right to kill me, but he has the right only to kill my innocent wife. If this is not a barbaric, savage teaching, I don't know what is Islam. They are retaliating from the days of Muhammad until today. And Muslim Sunni kill Muslim Shia, and Muslim Shia kill Muslim Sunni. What do you do? A Sunni, a good Sunni Muslim with a best bomb, and he goes to the Shia mosque, and he blew himself to pieces, and he killed 50 or 70 people. Now the Shia will find a good Muslim Shia who wear an equal best bomb, and he goes to the Sunni mosque and kill 50 or 70. Wait a minute. The man who killed the Sunni in the mosque is already dead. I mean, he blew up in pieces. Why do you have to kill 50 of his mosque? Oh, because retaliation is ordained for the Muslims. Muslims have been killing Muslims from the days of Muhammad until today. As a matter of fact, if you think about the first successor of Muhammad, Abu Bakr was killed by the Muslims. Umar was killed by the Muslims. Osman was killed by the Muslims. Ali was killed by the Muslims. Every Muslim important man in the Muslim world in the last 1400 years was killed by a Muslim. Literally, that is Islam. A gushing river of blood. That is the simple sentence for the history of Islam. A gushing river of blood. Why? Because they practice that savage verse, Quran chapter 2 and verse 178. We have movies in Egypt made on that. And the movie starts with two happy families, and somehow one of these families is killed by one of this family accidentally. These people did not believe it's accidentally, so they went to kill one from here, so they end killing two by accident. These people here killed more from these people. These people killed this and this killed this and killed this. And at the end of the movie, two old folks here, and everybody else is dead. Why? Because they practice the teaching of Allah in the Quran. Quran 2:178. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth is justice. You kill the man who committed the murder, not you kill equal to what you lost. This is the savage cause. Why is that, Adam? It's very simple. Because men and women and slaves are not equal in Islam. How dare you think you are a slave? If you kill my master, I have to kill your master. No, you kill the slave who kill your master because his master has nothing to do with that. Or you kill, if some man kill a wife, that man to be brought to death, not his innocent wife. This is savage. This is Islam. Why? Because men and women are not equal. Listen to this. From Bukhari, volume 3, hadith number 826.
Muhammad asked the women, isn't the witness of a woman equal to half that of a man? The women said, yes. He said, this is because of the deficiency of the woman's mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, when Allah created women and Allah created men, he made women stupid. Allah created women, they have deficiency in their mind. They have less religion and less good deeds and less belief and less everything. They're stupid. Christine, I can confess to you, even in the when you go to the verse of the Quran, which comes in the end of the study about where Allah in the Quran said women is, when the witness is half of a man. We got the verse in the Quran. It's going to come up here, a little bit down here. I discovered that women are much smarter than men. Psychologically, women are smarter than men. When you talk to a woman, she's using her right brain and left brain all the time. We men use one half at a time. This or that. Remind me, when we get to this verse later, I will share a story to prove that really we don't use both sides of our brain in the same time like women do. Okay? Listen to Muhammad said, what? He'll go.
If there is a bad omen in anything, it is in the house, in the woman, and the horse.
Man, women are bad luck. Women are bad luck. I don't even know what is wrong to have bad luck in a house, or what is the bad luck in a horse. But somehow, Muhammad put this wonderful hadith of Bukhari, book of Nukash, the book of the F word, 67, hadith number 5094. So Muhammad is telling all these wonderful Muslim ladies, including Dr. Rukia, you are a bad luck.
And if you among...
Let's start with this one here.
And for those who commit indecency among your women, so call four witnesses from among you against them. So if they testify, so detain them within their houses until death takes them, or Allah makes another way for them.
That is a punishment for the female if they do lesbianism. Okay? Two ladies have good time, lesbianism lifestyle, you bring four witnesses and you punish them in their houses, they be imprisoned until they die, or Allah bring another punishment, which obviously came later, the punishment is to kill, stone them. Okay? Now, what happened if men commit the same sin? Two guys, two gay, committed the same sin. Here goes, the founders.
So if they repent and reform, then leave them alone. Surely Allah was relenting, merciful.
Wait a minute. Why you put women in prison, but men, you punish them, and then they go? Why can't it be equal? So it's the same sin. Two ladies, two guys, two ladies, you beat the tail out of them and imprison them. Two guys, you punish them, and then they go free. Allah did not have justice. Allah does not treat men and women are equal. Here we go. Let's talk about the wife. We want to have extra prayers.
A wife is forbidden to perform extra prayers or observe fasting without the permission of her husband.
Can you imagine that? When your wife comes to you, honey, can I do extra prayer? No, you can't. Okay. Honey, can I fast? No, you can't. Okay. Honey, can I give some money to the poor people here? Can I give a sandwich? No, you can't. Okay. Why a woman needs permission from her husband to do extra prayers? She want to pray. Why does she need the permission from her husband? It's because men and women are equal. I'm sorry. That does not make any sense. If men and women are equal and the wife have to get permission from her husband to pray, then a husband has to have permission from his wife to pray. But they don't do that. They don't do that in Islam. Okay? Listen to the Bible teaching compared to the Quran teaching.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Can we find something like that anywhere in the Quran? I mean, where are our Muslim friends? The Muslim friends, do we have anybody in the place there? Can you please give me a verse of the Quran from which I learned that really men and women are equal in the word of Allah? Not in the sight of Allah. I know Allah sees them equal, but I need in his words, because I know nothing about Allah's eyes. All I know is his words. Now, where can we find that men and women are equal? In Christ Jesus. Jew and Greek are equal in Christ Jesus. Free and slave is equal in Christ Jesus. Well, here's the verse of the Quran, 2:17. Man is not, a free man is not equal to slave, it's not equal to women. That's the opposite of what the Bible said in Galatians 3:28.
Men are in charge of women because Allah precludes some of them above the others and because of what they spend out of their money. So good women are obedient, guarding in secret that which Allah has guarded.
Men are what? Men are in charge of women. Why men are in charge of women if men and women in Allah's eyes are equal? Dr. Rukia, please, Muslim friends, please, learn Islam before you teach this hogwash propaganda to the West. You are used as useful idiots to destroy your own countries, if it's England or America. And it's time for us, the people of the West, to learn the truth about Islam. especially when we talk about the subject of women, because the biggest majority of people in America who are becoming Muslim every day are the Muslim women, as American women. Why? Because they believe the hogwash and the stupidity of the lies which Muslims teach them. It's time for American women to wake up. So before you fall in love with the Mohammedan, before you marry the Mohammedan, please learn Islam. And if you find it that beautiful, may Allah bless you, sister. Go ahead, wear the burqa and be married and be slave to your husband. Because they're not equal. You will never be equal. Men are in charge of women. That's why. Because Allah prefer some of them, Allah prefer men over women. And because of what they spend out of their money. What if a man married to a rich woman? A rich guy, super rich guy, billionaire. And he have one daughter. And the daddy died and she inherited everything. She's a billionaire. And she married some Muslim guy who have nothing. Well, can we twist that verse, make it backwards? Women are in charge of men because of what they spend out of their money? Can we do that? Because in reality, I know some of my friends, the wife actually is a working person and the husband stay home with the children. You know why? Because she makes $300,000 a year, more than what they need, and they don't want to have some stranger to raise their babies. And they love each other, and they love their children. And he said, honey, there's no reason for me to go and work and add another $60,000 if we're going to pay $60,000 somebody to take care of our baby. You are blessing us. You're doing a great job. I'm proud of you. We love you. You go work and take care of our children. Now, will she be in charge of him? Think about it, my friend. Think about it. Let's see what the Bible talks about man-woman relationship, the relationship between a husband and wife. To compare to men are in charge of women. Here's what is written in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, and then we're going to read Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25.
Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
You know what the scripture is saying here? The apostle Peter is teaching us, as husbands, to dwell with our wives as the weaker vessel, because we got the strength, the physical strength, but listen to this, and as being heirs together to the grace of life. That our prayer will not be hindered. You know, if I don't love my wife, if I don't cherish my wife, as we're going to read this in Ephesians, when I pray, my prayer hit the ceiling and come down. We'll never go to God. We can hinder our prayers to God if we don't treat our wife in love and respect. They are the weaker vessel. We have to cherish them. We have to protect them. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 25.
Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Do you understand what the Apostle Paul is saying here? Jesus loved the church. A husband needs to love his wife just as Jesus loved the church. What did Jesus do for the church? Give her a box of chocolate. And said, church, eat chocolate and get fat. No, Jesus gives the church a bouquet of flowers. Hey, church, smell the flower and put it in a glass and a bottle. No. Jesus died for the church. I must love my wife as Jesus loves the church. I must love my wife to die for my wife, to protect my wife, even to death, as Jesus died and protected the church, and he gave his life for the church. You will find anything like that somewhere in the Quran? The teaching of Peter or the teaching of Paul? I love how Muslims mock Paul all the time. Think that Paul is the one who invented Christianity. But as a matter of fact, Paul did not add or subtract anything from the teaching of Peter. Here we go. Or the rest of the apostles. Let's get one more piece here.
Some of the commands are alien to Western tradition. Requirements of ritual purity may seem to restrict a woman's access to religious life, but are viewed as concessions. During menstruation or postpartum bleeding, she may not pray the ritual salah or touch the Quran, and she does not have to fast, nor does she need to fast while pregnant or nursing.
That's why Allah make her unclean. That's why she is naqisati aqlin wa deen. They have less brain and they have less religion. Who says that? Muhammad says. Can you imagine a woman cannot touch the Bible because she's in the period? A woman cannot fast because she's pregnant. A woman cannot fast because she's breastfeeding. A woman cannot do this. A woman cannot do that. Really? I never read this anywhere in the New Testament. Where in the New Testament a woman cannot pray, cannot fast, cannot touch the Bible because she has a period? That's not anywhere in the New Testament. And she put it in ritual. Guys, this is requirement of ritual purity, and it has something like, this is a culture maybe. Not Allah. No, Allah made women unclean, and Allah, your God, makes them naqisati deen, which means they have less religion. They're less spiritual. You have to understand, guys, every time a man prays, the angels on the right hand write it down. He prayed. When a man do good work, the angel is done. He did good work. When the man fast, the angel has to keep fast. All these are good deeds to help in the day of judgment. Poor the Muslim lady, she cannot fast, she cannot pray, she cannot read the Quran, she cannot touch the Quran, she cannot do this, she cannot do that because she's unclean. Who made her unclean? Allah make her unclean. And if prayer will not be accepted by Allah because of the natural thing he put in her. And guess now, she's pregnant. Oh my world, 9 months. She's not going to fast. She's not going to do this. She's not going to do that. So Allah punished women by making pregnant and by giving them the period, so he will send them to eternity in hell. Coming up, in the end of our study, I'll prove to you that Muhammad and Allah in agreement that lots of women are going to go to hell. Here we go. Let's see about cleanliness and women prayers.
Oh, you who have believed. Do not come near the prayer while you are drunk until you know what you are saying, nor after sexual orgasm, except that you are merely passing by until you wash. And if you were sick or traveling, or one of you has relieved himself, or you have touched the women, though you did not find water, then rub your face and your hands with good dirt. Surely Allah will pardon you, forgiving.
So a Muslim man cannot pray the mosque while drunk. Why? So حَتَّى تَعْلَمُوا, here we go in Arabic, حَتَّى تَعْلَمُوا مَا تَقُلُونَ, that you may know, here we go, why you're drunk, until you know what you are saying. Until you know what you're saying. So the reason a Muslim man cannot pray while drunk is because he needs to know what he's saying. I'm sorry, excuse me, yeah, that's what Allah said. Wait a minute. You know that 87% of the Muslim people, that's 1 billion, 400 million plus, they never know. They do not know what they're saying. They might as well pray while they're drunk because the same thing. A guy from Pakistan praying in the Arabic language, or a guy from Indonesia praying in the Arabic language, or a guy from Iran praying in the Arabic language, or a guy from Nigeria or from Kenya or from Somalia praying in the Arabic language, and he has no idea what he's saying. You might as well go ahead, get a bottle of whiskey, and get drunk and pray. Because it's the same. It's the same. You don't know what you're saying, do you? Hello, my Muslim foreigner. Muslim foreigner, you know what I'm talking about. If you know, if you never know what you're saying in the Quran, you might as well don't pray. It's the same thing. Now, forget about the garbage in the middle of the verse, okay? The sexual stuff. Let's go through. If a man touch a woman. So he washed, he did the wudu, he's clean, ready to go. In his way to the mosque, he touched a woman. Now he's unclean. What do? You wash again. Well, there is no water in Muhammad days. There's no, like, have a faucet in the bathroom there. No. You get some good dirt. Good dirt. Sa'idan tayyiban. Hey, here is the word. Fatayammamu sa'idan tayyiban. Which means what? You rub your face, you rub your hand with good dirt. No? You know what is good dirt, Mr. Christie?
Oh, yes, but I'll let you explain it.
Good dirt is loose dirt, which means does not have camel poopy or camel peepee. If the camel poopy come in it, it stick together, and camel peepee stick together. It smells like camel urine, okay? No poop or peep or peepee of a camel, okay? Now it's loser. You rub your face, you rub your hands, and after you do that, you're ready to pray. Oh boy, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, men and women, it's Allah's eyes are equal. For a man to touch your woman, he needs to rub his hands and his face with good dirt. Here's the conclusion. Here, by the way, look at the picture, Christy. That is the good dirt. That's loose dirt. There's no, you see, it's loose. There's no poopy in it. It's clean. It's good dirt. By the way, my mama told me when I was a kid, no good dirt. I said, Mama, Allah in the Quran said good dirt. I can't play in this. She said, no, you don't play in any dirt because every dirt is dirty, okay? I could not play in dirt when I was a kid. Even I tried to convince my mama using that verse. I was like 8 or 9 years old. She said, no good dirt. Don't play in dirt, okay? So what's the conclusion, ladies and gentlemen? Conclusion, the Quran teaches that women are dirtier than dirt. I'm not kidding you. But let me put it right. Women are dirtier than good dirt. I want to be exactly accurate according to the word of Allah in the Quran. So you touch a woman, you guys, you're going to pray, you're unclean, get yourself washed again, you don't have any wash, use the shampoo. It's called good dirt. Because that shampoo, good dirt, will clean your hand and you clean your face and clean your heart, and now you can pray to Allah. Because that woman you touch is dirtier than good dirt.
But then at the same time, if the woman passes in front of you while she is
yes, sir.
Her specific times,
yes, sir.
Your namaz gets haram. You have to restart your prayer.
Coming up, brother. Coming up, I promise you. But it's a good point. A very good point. Listen to what Matthew wrote to us about touching women touching a man.
Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall be also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her.
You can also read what is written in Luke 7:36. Two women. You know what this woman did? She touched Jesus. As a matter of fact, I believe the one in 7:36, she cried and washed Jesus' feet with her tears. She dried his tears with her beautiful full hair. She kissed the feet of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. She touched Jesus. And Jesus said, A'udhu billah, astaghfirullah al-azim. I seek refuge from Allah. I said, get away from me, woman. You're making me unclean. I need some water. Somebody get me some good dirt so I can get clean. No. Jesus praised this woman. As a matter of fact, this happened 2,000 years ago, and we're still thankful for that woman. Both of these women, Matthew 26:13 and 7:36, they did not make Jesus unclean, but Jesus made them clean. You see, a Muslim woman or a Muslim man, as a matter of fact, cannot touch the Quran if his hand is unclean. He has to do the wudu first. And if she has period, she cannot touch the Quran, period. If the Quran is the holy word of God and somebody touches it and that somebody is unclean, the Quran should have more power and more authority to make that unclean clean. Did you hear what I said? If the holy word of Allah is holy, should make any man touch it holy. Not the opposite. You mean I have more power over the word of Allah than Allah's word over me? I touch the Quran and make it unclean? Oh Lord, have mercy. I am more powerful than Allah's words. My uncleanness makes the word of Allah unclean, or the opposite. You touch the Holy Bible, you read the Holy Bible, it will change your life forever. So while the Quran said what? Women cannot touch a man because they make him unclean. The Quran, that's what the Quran teaches. The Bible said that women touch Jesus, and Jesus made them pure, and Jesus made them holy. No such a thing is in our Christian atmosphere, in our Christian prayers, that if I touch a Christian lady, I will not be able to pray. No. We actually hold hands when we pray. Husband and wife and daughters and sisters and brothers of Christ. The whole church. Sometimes you go to a church and there's hundreds of people holding hands, praying in unity. Because in Christianity, there's no difference between a man or woman, or a slave, or a free, or a Hebrew, or a Greek. That is a huge difference between the teaching of the Quran and the teaching of the Lord. So here we go. Luke 8:1-3.
As it came to pass that afterward he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women, which had been revealed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance.
So Dr. Luke has given us a bunch of names of some women and many others who are traveling and doing ministry with our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ and the 12 disciples. What the Quran said, 53:3, and stay in your houses. Stay in your houses. No, they travel with Jesus. They serve Jesus and his disciples. What a great difference between women in Islam and women in Christianity. It's literally like hell and heaven. That's the only difference I can see. Not just in the eyes of Allah, but in the word of Allah, women are imprisonment. They live in home. They live under the burqa. They don't touch. They don't do this. They don't do that. God help us.
And stay in your houses and do not display yourself like the display of the first of ignorance.
That is exactly what Allah wants women to do. Listen to this. Listen to this. I am Muslim before hadith number 1032. It's also in Bukhari. It's everywhere. Okay. If it is a Muslim, Bukhari, these two strong hadiths were 100% true. Here was Muhammad said.
Abdallah ibn al-Samit said, Abu Dar said, the messenger of Allah said, when one of you stands in prayer, what definitely constitutes a barrier for him is an object placed in front of him of the same height as the back of a camel's saddle. If it is not in front of him and of the same height as the back of a camel saddle, then some stray donkey or some woman passing or some black dog will cut off his prayer. I said, oh, Abu Dar, what is it that makes a black dog different from a red or yellow dog? He replied, oh, dear cousin, I asked the messenger of Allah that exact same question. He said that the black dog is a devil.
Thank you. That's what you were talking about, Adam, a minute ago. Is that the right one or different one, brother?
Yeah, it shows this as well. Yes, woman passing in front. Yep, you're right, brother. There are other hadiths on that as well, but this is pretty sufficient.
Yeah, thank you. So here we go. A woman, a donkey, and a black dog. Can you imagine? You're inside the church is praying, and a woman goes in front of you, or a black dog, or a donkey. Oh, Lord, have mercy. All these men are praying, wasted time. You guys, you just have bad luck today. Go back and wash. Maybe next time when you pray, no women. And why black dog? Because it's the devil. That's why Muhammad killed black dogs. Muhammad hated black dogs. That's why Aisha said, you make us like donkeys and dogs. شَبَّهْتُمُونَ بِالْكِلَابِ وَالْحَمِيرِ. That's what Aisha said. Let's stop here. We'll stop here. I don't want to get into the veil because that's another subject for another time. God help us. God help us. Christy, you've been sitting quiet. What is wrong with you? I don't like you when you're quiet. You make me nervous.
Well, I'm listening to you, and if I interrupt you, you know, you can get lost. So.
Well, was the voice so low, really, you could not hear it, or what's going on with the voice?
The slide volume was much lower, so...
Okay.
When you were playing it, it was hard to hear. I was concerned about the people on the radio show.
You need to fire Adam. There's a problem with Adam, and he cannot fix it.
Well, I turned the volume up on my speakers, but then when you started talking, it was
so loud.
Way loud. So
up, down, up, down.
Yeah.
Adam, how are we going to fix this problem, Adam? I don't want you to get fired, man. I need your help. Help us, brother.
You will have to fix your PowerPoint presentation, brother.
Okay, well, you need to teach me how to do that, brother.
Let's teach that after the program rather than in the program.
All right. Well, let me play this quick commercial here. We'll come back if you have any questions in the chat room. I'd love to answer, but here's a quick question.
The Straightway of Grace Ministry is excited to announce the creation of 2 new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin. We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstood Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arises from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. To order these new booklets, please visit thestraightway.org for more information. And now, back to our show.
And welcome back. Here we are. Christy, I love it when you watch Sean Hannity. It says, more with Hannity when we come back in the last 5 minutes. And he literally have 4.5 minute commercial. And then when you come back, a portion is this all the time we got. He does this every night.
Yes, anyway, I know. It's crazy.
That's funny. But I love people to get these small booklets. By the way, these booklets, guys, you can get 3 for $5, I believe. And they're cheap. If you order a big amount, I will figure out the cost and the shipping. Not a big deal. The shipping costs only $1, $2. We'll send it to you for the cost. It'll be a lot cheaper than $3 for $5. Okay, if you're gonna in your church or on your own, you wanna use these books to minister to Muslim people, please let me know and contact me through our website or my number, and we'll give you a better deal, much better. That's the cost. I want you to have it for the cost for the shipping. If you can afford the shipping, if not, I will even put in the shipping if you cannot afford it. All right, Christy, what else do you have in mind?
Well, I wanted to tell you that those little booklets, they are so excellent because it's the two things, probably the two questions that people have the most of when I'm talking with them, and I think you'll agree with me. Number one is, well, how do I share the gospel with a Muslim? That's the green book. It is really, really good because it uses the Quran to help them understand the scripture from the Bible. And the second question is, wait a minute, I know so many nice Muslims. Why are you saying Islam is violent? And the book with the violent truth about Islam gives them an idea of where to find the teachings of Islam that really are what jihad and terrorism is all about.
Very sad. All right. Hopefully, briefly, you guys get these books and other material we have on our website. And I hope, guys, you share this video with others. Like us, like Adam. Adam, where are you, Adam? Come to the mic, Adam, and tell people what to do, like what you always say. Brother. Go for it.
Yeah, please share, like, subscribe, ring the bell icon, and click on all notification. Because if you will not click the bell icon to all notification, what will happen is YouTube algorithm will decide whether they want to give you the notification of Osama Duck Talk's videos or not. But if you will click the bell icon and click all, you will get the notification of all the videos which Osama Duck Talk will do live stream or upload. So please ring the bell icon as well. At the same time, I think, brother, your stream, these 2 weeks stream were awesome. I think Muhammad had a womanophobia. Like there's a phobia that Muhammad had. He had a phobia against women, if you see.
Sad. We're on, by the way, Christy, we're on slide 45, if you can remind me next week as we continue in part 3, Women Islam, slide 45. And I got lots of material I want to share with you in this presentation. Lord is willing, we have lots of other presentations. And I look forward to see you again. Adam, why you did not invite me to your channel this week, man? You're supposed to invite me. What is wrong with you?
Brother, let's make a plan. We'll do a lot of live streams. I have been doing quite a quite a lot of work in my Urdu channel sites. When it comes to women, I've done a couple of streams over there as well, where I showed that according to Sunan al-Bahki, Muhammad said that if a woman will lick clean the pus coming out of the leprosy wounds of the husband, and she lick the blood coming out of his nose, and he dies even while doing that, she has not fulfilled the duty of her husband. That's the level of a woman in Islam.
Sir,
wow.
Sir, I don't think Muslim people understand these facts or know these facts. And if they grow up in Egypt, where I come from, and the husband do the other things which we're going to be covering in this study, that is the norm. That is how you grew up into it. You could not see a thing wrong. Your grandpa and your father and your husband are doing the same thing. So why do you think they're going to reject it? It became the norm. This is the normality among Muslims in the Middle East. But the sad thing is, the same Muslim women in the Middle East come to America and lie to the American lady to convince them that that's not actually what it is. We're going to talk about hijab next week. And you see Muslims telling us, nobody forced me to wear the hijab. I'm doing it with my free will. Really? Free will?
Brother, in Pakistan, until 2018 or 19, may the Lord not make me an error, so it's either 18 or 19, the law would not even allow the woman to go to the police station and call a number, like the 911 number, to say that my husband is beating me up. This happened in Pakistan recently, just a couple of years ago. And still the women are so scared that they will keep the beating and abuse, but they will not call the police
In Egypt, we are better than you. She can call the police. She can go to the hospital, and they run her body in the X-ray machine to see if there's any broken bone. No broken bone, the police will bring her back to her husband's house.
Awesome, because that's what the tafsir says. You cannot break the bone. You cannot make her bleed. The rest is all good.
But can you imagine how the husband feels when his wife go behind his back and go to the police station or call 911, and she goes to the hospital and come home? You know what? How he's going to treat her the next few days?
Exactly the way.
We do.
You hug her and kiss her. I love you, sweetheart. Sorry, baby. Did I upset you? Did I really upset you?
Usama, you need to close this out for
all
the
right.
radio show.
Brother, sister, here is our closing. God bless you all. See you next week, please. Let others know about this ministry. Appreciate you, Adam, Christy. Good night, everybody.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity. Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam.